Dr. Brastax, hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I
Let's
am
turn the radio
calling.
down.
Oh, it's not in this room at all, though.
Okay.
Just give me a second. Oh, boy. Hold on.
Yes, please.
Yes, I can.
This person says to
I
me, the caller should be asked if the last government was so useless, why would the PM be calling on its Minister of Finance for assistance?
Hello.
I don't know that I can answer that question. The person to ask that question to would be the Prime Minister of Barbados. It's an interesting one. Yes, don't the brass tacks.
Hello. I'm
Yes,
back.
ma'am. Yes.
My question is in connection to the services to be provided to the seniors. Whereas I am a senior person and the Prime Minister said should all remain at home. However, I do have needs to get medication. I can get somebody to just, run an errand or something. And I would like to know how it's going to work if you're not allowed to access that kind of assistance from someone, some service that they're going to offer. The hospital only provides delivery service to persons who are previously receiving their medication at the hospital. Other people have to go to the polyclinics. And in my case, that polyclinic is really a disaster on its own. And I would not be able to go there under any circumstances. They don't handle the situation very well. And in fact, I think they recently had a case of, some kind of virus situation in that area. So I'm wondering how are such other people like myself going to manage?
Well, I can't answer the question for you. The one of the changes that I've seen introduced here in the communication strategy, when I compare it with what happened last year, was that they had news conferences, yes, but they also made it possible for us to get answers from people from time to time as they arose. And I think it is important that you still have that kind of facility because all questions cannot be answered at those news conferences. And there really is a need to make sure that there is someone or a group of people available at points to share that information as the need arises. That can be done on air, it can be done off air, we can be written on it, but I thought that that
indicate
worked
the
well
number
last
that
year.
you
I
call?
don't know. I will have to get them to send me a number and I will convey that to you on air. All
Oh,
right?
I'd appreciate that. Yes, some number that
All
I could
right.
call to reach such a facility. Thank
Right.
you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Don't the brass stacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. It's 7 minutes after 11 o'clock. Was talking about this variant, the one coming out of Britain. And basically, they're saying, it is not unusual for viruses to undergo mutations because that's what has happened here with the coronavirus. And many may be completely harmless, and many may make it less deadly and less infectious. But in this particular case, this one, which created quite a lot of concern in Southeast London, has made experts wonder if the new strain could be more infectious and why researchers are still trying to tease apart whether that's the case or whether the rise could be attributed to a sociological change, such as people mixing for the holidays. There are some biological reasons that make this particular strain spread easier. And that is the one of the more significant aspects of it. Now, You have seen information coming forward where a preliminary information is also suggesting that it is deadlier than the coronavirus that we encountered last year. So it is against this backdrop that you're looking to see, well, how can we just stop this thing from spreading more dramatically? And that is where public health officials, doctors and stuff have been of the view that you needed to put a brake there. While on the other hand, the concern about the country's ability to sustain another break is real. And, you know, and we will have to work with that. You've heard how the Prime Minister has articulated it. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, morning.
Morning, Mr. Ellis. Regarding maybe that talk about education and students and teachers, what she's saying, one, is partly true with the tablets. When you get tablets, sometimes they are not compatible with the programs that you need to use, because sometimes the Google and them change their programming. Sometimes now you have on Google, you have to purchase things now, like you knew you have to do for the iPhones. But it is not really major. It's just that some people are not technologically have wisdom. Let me put it that way. We are diverse. We are diversified by not able to maneuver and try to assess these things. Probably the ministry needs to get someone that has technology knowledge and more understanding, that when they receive their tablets, because you can't tell people which tablets to send you. If they are donating tablets, you know they will send you tablets that were used to try to get these parents now to understand how to maneuver around certain programs to get the right programming to work. In regards of children having problems in school with behavior patterns and one misbehaving in school, the ball drops at the parent. We need to realize that our children are important to us in this time. Some parents, yes, cannot spend time. Some choose not to spend time. But in this case, we all need to spend time with our children, because it is very important. We can't put the blame on teachers. We can't put the blame on COVID. It was a situation that has been arising for years. It's now that COVID bring it to form. And another thing is, with this sort of thing now, with the technology, my six-year-old son, when he gets a certain age now, he will be diversified in using a tablet, in using a laptop, because he will have that previous training well before, you know, you wait till you either get in secondary school to learn about computers and stuff like that. So it's be an advantage and a disadvantage to certain things. What we need to do is sit down, think, and realize what is really going on and work with it. Stop fighting it. If you get a tablet that ain't working, or say, oh, this ain't work, try to find someone that can sort it out for you. You understand? That is my contribution.
Well, we have a couple of generations of Barbadians who've basically had life relatively easy. And this is the first real test that they would have encountered. And it is going to test our resolve in so many ways, how we deal with the children and the education of them, the fact that parents need to be paying more attention to their children's development is, you know, we talk about it all the time, but COVID and the fact that the children have not been able to get the in-person teaching and that sort of thing makes it imperative now that parents pay more attention in various ways, because there are some parents who are not as capable as others in dealing with the kind of work that these children have. So in those circumstances, then you have to be looking for somebody else to help you out. There are students who could be encouraged to help in that way. Community service, I remember the government of Barbados basically said that students going back to the University of the West Indies and the government paying their tuition fees, those people should give back to society. But perhaps we should be emphasizing that give back concept on a larger scale to embrace even people who are at secondary school. I mean, there's so many people who benefit from government support from primary level, secondary level, tertiary level. Maybe that's one way of trying to change the way that many people see their contribution to Barbados, because that contribution is often measured by being qualified and getting a job. And that's where it begins and ends. The idea of being able to give support to other people who may need that kind of assistance is something that is relatively low on many people's totem pole. So let's see if that's one of the things that you could encourage by reaching out to your neighbors, and especially where they can be to able to use the computers and that sort of thing to help other children who are facing difficulties. It shouldn't be left to this whole concept of just going to lessons, you know. So I put down the table. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program at 11:17. Hello.
I was watching Prime Time last night on CNN. Chris Cuomo's law. And Dr. Sanjay Gupta called in, and during his interview, he stated quite clearly that the CDC now have very concerns about the cloth mask. They're saying because the new variants seem to have the cloth mask a bit more vulnerable now as it relates to droplets penetrating to these said masks. And he went on to say that ideally the N95 would have been the best mask for the populations to be wearing. But you know that those are the ones that are for the health workers and so forth. So now the U.S. is now trying to mass produce more N95 masks, because basically what he's saying is that the cloth masks are very vulnerable at this stage against these new variants. So I would suggest the government what they can perhaps do, make a slight adjustment to the mask wearing protocol and ask people, in addition to the face mask, wear a face shield. Okay? That's my question.
Yeah.
And you can check the information. The cloth masks are, you know, against these variants are, you know, we are basically up against it here, you know, in terms of controlling the spread. So you have to place, if you don't wear the cloth mask, you should wear a face shield and play more emphasis to your social distancing. That's the key at this time. Or if you can get your hands on the N95 mask, but definitely, I don't know if you saw the program, but there's a big concern now that the CDC has as it relates to the cloth mask. Okay?
Well, I didn't see the program. I'm here looking at the CDC.
You can
the
check
CDC site.
You can check Chris Cuomo last night on Sanjay Gupta. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, sir. Cool.
And there's another reason why you need to know as early as possible what variant you are dealing with, because it has implications for how you go about protecting yourself and enhancing your protection. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Mr.
Morning. Eric. Hi. Morning.
I have a quick query for the drug service.
The drug service
will be 2 weeks. Medication that may be available and one can get from the pharmacy within those 2 weeks because of the lockdown. If you ask the pharmacy to give that to you today or Monday or Tuesday, they're telling you you have to pay fully for that medication and any discounts that you may get because of the drug service allowance is not applicable. I find that to be a little bit stressful, to be not finding a more difficult word. And I'm wondering whether drug service to the Ministry of Health can tell them that any drugs that will be, any repeats that will be due during the lockdown should be given with the same formulary discount that one would get. I think that is only reasonable.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, some people can be really crafty and clever when it comes to this whole issue of COVID. Here's one which has been sent to me. I think Dennis would like this one. This person says, I dream of the day when I will walk down the aisle and hear those magical words. This is your pilot speaking. This is Don Brastax. Hello.
Hey, morning.
Yes, morning.
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I didn't hear you.
I'm listening to you.
Yeah. I had some problem last year getting my 1300 return.
Mm-hmm.
I know this year I ain't seeing it. Every time I go to my account, I'm not seeing it. So I'd like to know what I could do.
I don't know. I would have to ask somebody from from the government agency that's responsible for that to what extent they're having a problem with these types of returns. And have you called them? You can call.
I went on many occasions and to check it. They tell me it's in the computer, but I have to go to my account and check. I ain't seen it. I know that the country and the situation now where people will be taking our late money.
Yeah, you really need it now.
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones who would have to tell us what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, morning.
Good.
I'm okay.
Good. Yeah, the caller before this last one here, what he said was very instructive. And perhaps the news related to that item, when you fully research it, perhaps it should be made available on news a good few times, because what they're saying to us that we have to be more careful now, and we might have to start using shields as well as the masks. And most of us have the cloth mask. I'm really concerned that we didn't investigate that new strain when it was first coming out of England. The information was there. And I don't think that as a country, let me be brutally frank, not as a country, I don't think the administrators of the COVID situation really paid attention to that variant. When we were reading that it was in some cases 80% times more virulent than the previous strain. And I know on radio, we were even saying that perhaps we should have shut off that border there with England, at least for a period of time, perhaps you see them 2-3 weeks that we're doing now, because then we would have been able to forestall the acceleration of all the cases that we have had. And we said there had to be something very strange, that we were moving from 3 people a day to 30 and 70 and all those numbers. So I think we dropped the ball there. But that having been said, I think the information that we were just given by the gentleman who called in, and I thought that was an extremely constructive call. We need to investigate that more to see what we can do now to prevent the spread of that of that strain. I mean, the cases of the of staying home and so on, the song's okay, but you still have to go to the supermarket, you still have to go to the pharmacy and things. But so we may have to look a little deeper. And that particular call I'm very impressed with. But let me make a point about these shops, though. Because I am, as a person who has traveled Barbados, working for the nation as a journalist, and doing slice of Asian life, a lot of these claims being made about these shops and all that, I haven't seen it, and I'm not seeing it now. a lot of these shops over times have become very utility oriented. They're selling items for people in the area. The rum shops that I grew up knowing are not around anymore. And even then in those rum shops, the men used to come and they held their own corner. I grew up, they had a house above me, and then there was a shop. You can call it a rum shop, but there's just a few fellas in there. Then there was another one, and that one still survives, but most of the activity now takes place outside the shop itself, under a tent. And the men are, well, they've been distancing themselves for a little while now. So I don't understand these people.
I don't know that. I agree with you to a large extent. The rum shop has changed, but the bars have sprung up. Instead
right,
of
so
what you would call it.
You have to look at. Yeah.
The bars have sprung up. And in addition to that, what you would notice is that once people start to drink, they lose control. They basically drop their guard a lot more.
Yeah, David, I can agree with the bars. I can agree. Mm-hmm. If you want to shut a bar for a period of time, I am in full agreement with closing a bar. Because in the first place, if you're drinking, how you can go on a mass and you're drinking? Huh?
Right.
How you can have a mass
if,
and you're drinking?
And there are a lot of people who, when they get together, like to play a game of dominoes.
Yeah. So all I right. could understand those bars. You can, but I think the normal shop that I grew up knowing, they don't harbor people like that anymore. And let me say this here too. A lot of the problems will arise or could arise on the blocks. And let me explain, because when I've been traveling through Barbados, in every village I found, there was an assemblage of men, some young, some old, a mix of them, playing various games, but also engaging in their favorite pastimes of smoking different varieties of substances. Let me put it that way. I used to have to tell them, look, but we're not taking that picture for you. That's not going in the paper. and I think yeah, I was walking a little distance out here, and this year a fella took a spit from over his mouth and gave it to another fella. So there you can see where you can get contagion. I mean, let the people who are responsible get real to understand where the real issues are. Because in everything you're doing, you do a situational analysis. What where the real issues are and target them, control them. Next year, you're going to hear an outbreak in every part where these guys hang out. Another thing I used to see in recent years, I'm seeing older men mixing with younger boys under trees. And they are playing dice. Whole lot of them congregating. They're not in any shop. They're not in any shop. They're under the tree playing dice. Good grief. Give the average man or woman who has a little shop a chance and be real.
I hear what you say, but...
No, I see these things. I travel around
my business. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you say.
Woman and the woman who has
I hear what you say.
Selling a biscuit and a bread, a chance.
I hear what you say.
I hear all he's selling. His doors are usually closed. He's selling biscuits and bread and a few drinks. Are you going to shut him down and talk about entertaining him and give him a few dollars?
I think that you are driven. Don't get so emotional about it, please. Let me say to you that in all of this, you have the more people who are open, the more risk we take. That's the bottom line. And that while you have on the one hand to look after the interests of the person who is selling, you also have to look at the person who is buying. I don't think that we have enough of a culture of that kind of control, when once faced with something that is as highly contagious as this particular variant has turned out to be, we just don't have those the culture of control that you're talking about.
I agree with you,
and that's the that's the dangerous part of it.
We should have put in place all the necessary reinforcements to look to make sure that people were compliant a long time, but we didn't. But let me deal with the people you're talking about.
Well, look, let me say you something. Let me say something to you. Look, we can't even stop men from riding up one-way streets in the wrong direction. We can't even do that. We can't stop people from going through red lights with all the technology that is available to us today. I mean, there's so much that we complain about bitterly every day.
We got a problem in supervising. But let me make the point about people in a village there. But let me make this point. You're going to stop a man from going to a shop next door to him where his cousin sells bread and drink, right? And he has to catch a bus, pay $3.50 down to town and $3.50 back. That is $77. He has to ride in a van and sit next to a person, right? Then he has to go in the line down in town, and he has somebody behind his back, less than 3 feet, and is therefore exposing himself more to the virus than if he stayed in his house at 70 years old and goes next door to his cousin to buy a drink, some bread, and some toilet paper. That's what I see. I live that experience. I see it. I walk in those areas. So they need to rethink those things. They're dealing with Barbados for 20 and 40 years.
The man at 70 years is not supposed to be on the bus in the first place.
Right. So he has to pack up downtown.
No. He's not supposed to be traveling on the bus to Bridgetown. After
his cousin will have to get the thing for
somebody else. Somebody else will have to assist that person in that age group. However, let's be realistic. There are people who may have great difficulty in finding somebody around them who's going to work with them in that way too. Huh? That's our reality, and therefore I can't discount your assessment of that aspect of the problem. It is a challenge, and
needs to be deeply thought through. And before you jump on your bandwagon to vilify villagers and small shopkeepers, who they really are,
it's not to vilify people,
bias,
though.
I could understand bias, David.
This is not about vilifying anybody, though. This is about looking at the risks that we all face as a result of a variant that is highly contagious. I want to say to you that right as we speak right now, we have reason to be very concerned about those numbers that we've seen already, and those that may come after.
I've been staying in my house from the time most of this thing has been happening, and trying to avoid unnecessary. Only things I need to do. I got it. But I'm making the point, David, that when you start to go that direction and you say you can't, the man that has a little shop that provides everybody in that gap who doesn't have anybody congregating around his place, and you are making all of us now catch a bus, pay $7, go and line up in a line with people behind our backs, drive in a van.
Well, you made the point already. You've said that already.
I need to rethink it.
Let's move on. Thank you very much.